Hello and welcome to episode number 9 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. I have a special guest. I am joined by Robert Stanley from Houston, Texas.
Hey, happy to be here.
We are very glad to have you. He is our first extra Utah special guest, and this is going to be an awesome episode. We are going to have a regionals report from Robert. But first off, just a quick intro to the podcast. This is going to be another battle report. We are going to have our standard introduction from Robert. He's going to tell us about how much he loves Imperial Assault and how awesome he is at it. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to go straight into his battle reports. But we wanted to thank everybody for subscribing to the podcast. If you could, we would love to have a 5-star review on iTunes or any constructive feedback. And again, if you want to join us on the Slack channel, just send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. We would love to get you in talking with us about list building and how much we love Imperial Assault. But first off, let's let Robert introduce himself.
Well, I'll just start. I've been playing Imperial Assault now for a few years. I started playing just before Twin Shadows was released. We got the core set. I kind of got into it mostly because my family plays board games. I'd never been a big miniature guy or anything like that, but I saw that with my brother. It was something we saw, I think, just at a game shop while we were going. I think we were going to buy a Dominion expansion or something like that, and we saw it, and I got a little bit excited about it. I think I saw a sale on it for Barnes & Noble, decided to pick it up. At first, we just played the campaign for maybe, you know, that kept us busy for 2 or 3 months, and then after that I started looking into the skirmish side of it and got really excited about that, and you know, have gone from there. We did take a short break just after Bespin dropped for maybe like 6 months or so, and then jumped back in just a little bit before Jabba's came out.
That is amazing. So does your brother also play with you?
Oh yeah, we play all the time. We play probably 2 or 3 times a week at least. We're in the Vassal tournament right now, and I was given a hard time because we're both 3-0, and I got matched with him, so I got to play him this week.
You're going to crush him into the dirt, Robert. What's his name?
Mitchell, yep.
Cool, that's so awesome.
Yep, so we play quite a bit. So, and that, and then I also play on Vassal a little bit, trying to get some extra practice in.
So tell us, what kind of lists do you like to run?
I love all kinds of lists. My favorite throwback list, I gotta say, is Bantha. I used to play that a ton. I ran that for the first couple regionals I went to. I had a great time with that list. Bantha, HKs, things like that. So that's one of my favorite figures. I just had a really good time with that. I think there's a lot of fun movement and really tactical things you can do with a large figure like that, especially when you're trying to smash on other figures, land on them, and get them to move exactly where you want them to be. Other than that, I really like Imperials. I love playing Imperials, and I love the new Jet Troopers. There's a lot of really cool things that you can do with them, a lot of really cool interactions, and the flyby movement is amazing.
Yeah, it is such a great time to be an Empire lover.
Oh my gosh.
And Jet Troopers are so good.
And it's so nice to see, like, actual iconic figures like Palpatine and Vader hitting the table now. We got Han and Chewie back at a decent power level, so it's a really good time to be any kind of player, I feel like.
I totally and completely agree. Isn't it kind of funny that, like, the ones we're talking about having, like, all the fun right now is Empire and Rebels and not Mercenaries? This is what they get for having a year of absolute dominance with Jabba's Realm.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely still really good. I don't feel like they've dropped in power that much, but I just don't feel like they have as many iconic figures. I mean, they got IG that people run a lot, but they don't have you don't have Palpatine or Vader on the table when you're running Mercenaries. Just a different feel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, you put Bosk down. And Boba Fett. You know, for like their own like Bosk is good and he's really good, but he's like a good example of like someone who like the power curve just kind of left behind.
I know he was that power curve. If he get just a little bit below it, he could use a little bit of a buff.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, it's if you could get him to not be alpha'd in one turn,
yeah,
then his durability, his attack. I mean, he's still a hunter and a brawler. Yep. You know, I mean, that's just
the white die is just
Boba
so
Fett
squishy.
Is his own. Oh yeah, absolutely. Even with his inherent block.
And his yellow thing, his yellow die has to be it's got to be changed to a automatic thing, not an action to do that. The yellow die is so swingy anyways that the fact that you're rolling that, it's got to be give him a free action. But I can't wait till Boba comes back. That's obviously going to be the next, I think that's going to be the next figure that they actually they come with a change for. So I can't wait for that to happen. That'll be exciting.
That will be awesome. That will be totally awesome. Okay, so right now, like, you're in the Vassal tournament. Can you tell us what list you're running?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Well, I can't. So it's actually the No Mirrors Vassal tournament. So what that actually is everybody chose 3 lists, one from each faction.
Oh,
Okay. And so at the start of each round, you roll for initiative, and then not roll for initiative, but you just roll or whatever. Whoever won initiative or wins initiative chooses their list, and then the other player chooses their list after that. But you can't have the same faction. So you never play faction against faction. Awesome. So it's kind of interesting that way that you never end up doing like a mirror match or anything like that. It's kind of cool. After everybody chooses the list, then you go normally and you do like initiative and everything like that and then start the match. So just a quick rundown of what I've been running. My Imperial list is Palpatine, E-Jets, and the ATDP with some support units.
That's awesome.
My Merc list is almost the same one I ran for the regionals that came up recently. It was IG, Equays, Onar, Gideon, Hera. I think I had Greedo and maybe a Jawa in there, something like that. And then my Rebel list, which honestly I'll probably never play because I just don't really enjoy playing Rebels that much. It's just two sets of Rangers and some support units, Hera, Gideon, 3PO, things like that. I only threw that one in there because just in case I end up getting stuck on Nalhutta and I want something that's not going to get destroyed.
Yeah, those Rangers. That's very vanilla, but I mean, they will get it done.
Oh, man, so. Especially on Nalhutta.
Okay, that's awesome. So let's get into your regionals report.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us where it was, how many people were there, and let's just get rolling.
Yeah, so it was in Humble, North Houston area. It's early December, I want to say like December 2nd or something like that. We had a 16-person turnout, which I thought was great. I was happy if we were going to get 12. Most of our normal store champions and stuff like that, store championships get like 8 to 10 or so. So I was happy with 16. I ran almost my same list, like I was saying for the Vassal tourney. I'm running IG-88, Equays, Onar, Gideon, Hera, and two regular Ugnaughts, along with Temporary Alliance and Devious Schemes.
Cool.
So that was my list. My thought process was there. It's got, you know, it had enough oomph that it could take down something like Vader, but also be competitive in some of the objective maps. I didn't want to get swept on Raining Freight if anybody else brought Ugnaughts.
Yeah, good
wasn't
point.
An issue because nobody did bring any Ugnaughts, though, which is nice, but I was worried about that. But yeah, it's just something I played around with a bunch with Mitch, and I felt like it was a really strong list. Also, I think he had wanted to run Vader, so that was off the table for me, so I let him have that.
Because you share a corset.
I think that was good. Yeah, so we've got doubles of a lot of things. Almost all of the major expansions. But, I mean, yeah, for the corset and some of the other things, we generally, one of us runs one thing, one of us runs the other.
That's awesome. Man, that's so cool. Okay, so tell us how you did.
You know, it went really well. I took some notes here. I just want to apologize in advance. I don't remember everyone's name, and I'm definitely not going to have a real thorough, like round by round or anything like that of what the breakdown was. But I did really well. I made it to third or fourth. I lost in the semis to one of my good friends. The first round, just to break down, the first round was on Anchorhead. It was the mission with the crates where you pick them up and then you drop them off in the middle of the map. You get 10 points,
Line of fire.
2 points for each health they have.
Yeah,
that's the one, Line of Fire. That was actually against a newer player, not from our area. So I had never played him before. He was running a Scum Hunter list, really similar to mine, a bunch of mercenary heroes along with IG-88. I think he had one set of Equays too. I took the top deployment zone because he was not running Devious Scheme. The top one that has the hallway that you can shoot down the whole side of up closer towards the patrons.
Yep.
Or up closer towards the patrons and up crates.
Yeah.
So I actually had two of my Ugnaughts pretty early pick up a couple crates. And I think I killed his IG early. His Onar went down. And then two of my Ugnaughts turned in crates for 10 points each. It was pretty quick game there.
He didn't have any Ugnaughts or anything like that.
Yeah, he didn't have any Ugnaughts, and he couldn't push through. I mean, he couldn't push through IG down there. He was trying to take pot shots up the hallway and everything, but it just didn't work out. I think he rushed in. He did a rush in with IG too to try to finish mine off, but I think mine survived. Mm. And so at that point, he just got blasted. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
The second map was on Shielded. I don't remember very much of this match, but it was the closest match I had of the day. I think it ended up being like 38 to 40 at the very end. Whew. It was Imperials with E-Sentries on the Shielded map. So I took the bottom deployment zone, if you're looking at it, on the what's called the one with the water in it.
Yeah. Oh, the pond. So like your terminal is on the cliff.
Yes, my terminal. I took the side with the cliff down there. Okay. Specifically because he also had some E-jets, and I didn't want him to get, because with E-jets can get to all those all the objectives if they're sitting on that bottom one, because they can go just straight over the cliffs. And so there's a really hard to push them off those terminals as well with their 7 health and that automatic extra surge cancel they're getting from the shields.
Yeah.
I remember it was a really close match. He took a lot of his units over on the left side over to where his terminal is over there and hit his E sentries over there. I think he had a hard time because the E sentries were hanging back a little bit. They didn't move very far up on the first round. So even on the second round, one of them took a shot, but it was a long range shot, and I think he missed by range. So the East Entries were not too much of a factor, and that kind of cost it there.
Okay.
The third map was Raining Freight, playing against another scum hunters list. I again took the bottom deployment zone. I think he had Devious as well, but I rolled and got initiative. The only couple things I remember about this is that he pushed one of his units up early to stop my vacuum cleaner Ugnaught droid from grabbing a couple crates. I think I ran up with the first one to get one crate, and I was going to get two more with the next Ugnaught when he went. And I think he ran up, it might have been, I don't know, one of his more support units and took a pot shot at the junk droid so that I only got one extra crate, which slowed me down a little bit, but also put his unit a little bit further out there.
Yeah.
And I know he went in really hard with Onar, trying to do some damage there on one of my figures, and just didn't get the kill off. So Onar and Greedo went down really early for him, and after that it was just kind of cleaning it up. The fourth round, so I'm 3-0 now. We had six buys at this tournament because had a bunch of store champs. Yeah, there's like six people that had taken buys.
So everyone's 3-0.
Yeah, there was five or six people that were still 3-0. So I got my first loss here on the last round of the Swiss here. Playing against another Scum Hunter list. I don't know, there was tons of Imperial lists, but I only played one of them, and then one other later. I don't know, and I didn't play any of the Ranger lists, but we didn't have I think our breakdown was something like three Rebel lists, like six or seven Scum and six or seven Imperials. So even between Imperials and Scum, but very few Rebel players. Which was surprising to me because so many people, I mean, the new figures, Han got his update, Ahsoka and Chewie. I thought there was going to be a bunch of those being played, but it wasn't the case. So the fourth round, like I was saying, it was Jabba's. It was the match with the stashes for 4 points each, the three control points that we have.
Yep.
I just playing against other Scum Hunters, I think he had two sets of Equays. We both opened the door fairly early. I think he opened his first. I opened mine and took pot shots with my Equays. I just lost the Hunter battle there. He took out more of mine than I took out of his. And they also had a really good play. I think it was the end of the second or third round. He had his IG up controlling the stash by the throne there at the very top, towards where the drop into the pit is.
Yep.
And he was getting initiative the next round. He had saved his IG for very last because I think it must have been the end of the third round. He didn't have anything nearby to take out. And my IG was hiding by the stash in the middle.
Yeah.
And it had already been hit a couple times. Yeah, the little cove right there. Well, he moved his IG 12 spaces and got him right next to my IG, got initiative the next round, and just blasted mine out of there. So that was unfortunate. I lost IG there, and then I think his IG at that point, I had been taking out support units, but his IG was full health, so there was not much else I could do there. I don't even think his IG died. It was not a close game. So that was that. I ended up being, fourth or fifth with the cut. So we had a cut to top eight.
Okay.
And then the first map in top eight was Jabba's Crates.
Okay.
The one where you pick up the crates. They give you 2 points and -2 movement.
Yep. Spoils of War. Of
Spoils of Crime.
Yep.
Yeah, Spoils of Crime. That's what it's called. I played against another Scum Hunter list with IG.
This is awesome.
I know. I was so surprised. I thought I was going to be one of the few people running Scum.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was just because I thought it was a solid list. That's something I wanted to run, and I couldn't run Imperials, which is what I normally run. But there was tons of IGs. So another Scum Hunters with IG. I don't remember anything about this game. I don't remember anything about this game. I think I contested and had my Ugnaughts go down to the pit and grab a couple things, and I put a timer on the game and kind of forced him to make plays that he wasn't looking to make.
Yeah.
Because I had grabbed a couple of the objectives.
Yeah.
And after that, I think it just wrapped up. I think we wrapped up on points. That was the quarterfinals. The semifinals was Gaining Favor on Obi-Wan's map. I had Devious I was playing against. So this is my one of our good friends, Joe. So me and Mitch also have some friends up in the Webster area, not too far from us, that we play with probably, once a week or so. We play with them pretty often. So he was playing. He had brought Vader, two sets of E-Jets, and a set of E-Riots, along with some support. I know. He was the only one there, I think, running Riots. I don't think I saw any other Riot Troopers, which is kind of interesting. So Gaining Favor, I took the top deployment zone again like I had earlier. I opened my door early because he didn't have anything that could contest that hallway if he opened the door. So he actually did not open his door at all. He went ahead and ran all of his units up right below where that straight wall is that branches off to the side over that main room.
Yep.
Generally where people stash their units and take those corner shots, kind of beside the terminal. So he ran all of his units up in that middle area right there. He took a couple shots the first round. He took shots from IG, I know, and he took shots from, I think, probably one of my Equays got a shot off on the first round too. And then the start of the second round. I moved my Focus Onar directly next to Vader to try to get a, because I had Assassinate, and try to get a, probably not kill him, but get a real good shot off on the start of round two with Devious.
Yep.
Drew cards. I did not have Negation, and he pulled Take Initiative.
Oh,
damn. And I know. So it happens. No big deal. So he goes with a set of E-Jets. I think he Grenadiered Onar. Took a shot at Onar with one of them, and then also overran Onar with the other one to kill him from, I think he was, oh, no. Sorry, he didn't play Grenadier. Vader had taken a shot at Onar at the end of the round because he was next to Vader.
Okay.
So Vader did probably, I think, five damage or so, and then one of the E-Jets used overrun and attacked Onar. The other one just attacked Onar and finished him off before he, so I lost that focus attack.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, so I went after that. Yeah, after that, it was just basically Darth Vader coming in and cleaning shop. He took out pretty much everyone.
Yeah. So tell me, let's I there's so many things I want to ask you about it, because one is, I think it's awesome that you were running IG, because it doesn't, I guess there's, metas are diverse, obviously, and different regions have got different metas. Tell me why like IG so much. Like, why is it that IG is your, why did you go with him as opposed to something like Vinto, and Greedo or something like that?
I just think he does so much damage. He can swing a game so easily by himself. I also love him with Gideon and Hera. On some of the close range maps, it's ridiculous. You can get so much movement early with IG that it's not hard to get two good shots off round one. So if you go with Hera, you can move him up one. You go with Gideon and move him up another two. And then you also use this two free movement on something like Jabba's Realm. You can easily do three green dice attacks on the first round. So you can just be really devastating. It's really hard to plan around something like that, like getting those attacks off early. So I really think he's one of the best figures in the game right now. He's ridiculously good. And on top of that, if you happen to get Blaze of Glory, the match can be over before the first round is over.
Yeah, like
if you get Blaze of Glory along with those two shots, four three dice attacks on the first round, there's not very many lists that can deal with that. I just think he's a really good figure.
That's a good point.
I wish Blaze of Glory and Son of Skywalker were a little bit less swingy, but yes. they're just really good.
Oh yeah.
And so if you get them, they can be, and also, you know, he's got the hunter cards to back him up too, whenever he does fail with dice or something like that. So, and apparently a lot of other people in the area or in the Texas area like IG too, because I think IG was in more lists than anything else.
That is interesting. I mean, cause I've heard that in, like the European metas, you look at those, they're regionals and nationals, and IG's everywhere. But I haven't seen him very much. I mean, we don't play in Utah. We've probably got, you know, 15 to 20 people who play regularly, and this is in, you know, like a pretty tight geographic area.
Yeah.
So it's not super expansive.
There's only so much of Utah that's actually populated.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Which is this very narrow band, and in that band, yeah. I think there are maybe two people who regularly play IG. And even like when Scum Hunters was a big deal, and even and so, obviously after the fix came out, he just never has seen very much play.
Oh, sorry. So my question then is, when you have people playing Scum Hunters, is it always just two sets of Equays and then the support going along with that, like Onar, Vento, things like that?
Two sets of Equays, Onar, Vento, Greedo. Greedo's in almost every list. So there's the double Equays, Vento, Onar, Greedo, Rebel Care Package, Jabba. And then, you know, everything else is to flavor, but that was the staple, I would say the staple meta list when, Scum Hunters were prevalent.
Yeah, for sure. I think I like IG, like I said, because he's got a much better chance from my playtesting, at least, to get shots off round one.
I like that.
And I really value early attacks. I mean, Equays, if you're running two sets of Equays, you're basically not doing anything round one. I mean, maybe you take a focused Greedo and run him out there and get a shot off. Yeah. But a lot of people aren't prepared to take so much hits or take so many hits early.
Yeah.
When they're running against Scum Hunters. So that's one of the reasons I really like him. It can be really devastating then. And Devious, man, is so good. Devious game is ridiculously good. Like, just having the guaranteed, like, if you don't have take initiative, then I'm getting an initiative the round two, the most important round to start, is really, really good. And also, you're basically guaranteeing yourself the end of the round activation in round one if you've got someone like IG who can take those end of round attacks.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think that's interesting because, again, and Devious Scheme, since the Bantha has gone away, hasn't also been as prevalent. I think mostly because Scum Hunters, like you were saying, like double Equays, Vinto, Onar, blah, 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 are not as dependent in terms of, like, I mean, they're the whole premise of the list is, like, just point them at the enemy and just take your shots, right? It's not about...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess you would... It'd be awesome to, like, bomb Vinto in and get, like, some awesome attacks out of round two, but it's not like IG... And so Devious Scheme, it would wreck. I mean, like, my list is dependent. If I don't have Ahsoka needs to take the last activation because I've got 9 activations and Ahsoka needs to go last, which most of the time will happen.
Oh yeah, 9 activations, it's really hard not for that not to happen.
But if I don't have initiative round 2, then that changes so much because I can't really bomb Ahsoka in. I can't, like, overcommit her because then, you know, they're going to get initiative and she's going to die. And if I lose Ahsoka without removing, like, an equivalent, you know, number of points, then my smuggler box really, 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 really struggles. So if Devious Scheme comes back, man, that's going to make me rethink my life.
I'm surprised. We still have quite a few people running Devious over here. I mean, the maps, aside from Obi-Wan's, which is about to rotate out?
Yep.
Has it rotated out already?
No, I think it's in...
On the second?
Okay. I think it's on the fourth.
Almost rotated out.
Yeah.
Aside from Obi-Wan's, I feel like most of the maps are more balanced than they have been in the past, so it's not as much about getting the advantage of choosing the side, though that does play a small part of it. But just the guaranteed getting initiative round two, that first activation of round two is so important, especially when you have a figure like IG, Bantha, something that's going to do, something that's going to take figures off the board at the start of round two before they can activate. It makes it so much bigger deal.
It's
something with Equays too. I mean, I don't know if it's as big of a deal with them. They can take figures off the board at the start of round two, but generally they don't move up so far that they're in a ton of danger at the start of round two either.
Yeah.
So that might be part of it. That might be part of either. You're not forced to activate them super early if you don't need to, if you don't want to take something out.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing is with Equays is that they're obviously they're so good and they're an incredibly efficient unit. But
oh yeah, of course.
If you have played against them and you know how to play against them, you know the fact that like they're not going to do anything round one, right? And so I mean like that just gives the player playing them so much control in terms of like knowing like when to position, how to position, that you can do things that they can't really stop you from doing without putting themselves in a bad position, which is just awesome.
Yeah, and Ahsoka's really good at them. I mean, so you know there's going to be one Equay that is focused and hidden at the end of the round, and Ahsoka would go up there and she's focused and she's got like a, I think it's like a 70-80% chance to one shot him.
Yeah,
and they're gonna lose that focused and hidden figure. It's just she's really good at that, at just taking out a unit that is going to be doing a lot of damage.
That is exactly what she is for. It is awesome. Okay, so you've talked about Devious Scheme, which was the other thing I was gonna ask about. How is that a very prevalent card in your local meta?
Yeah, we have a decent amount of people running it. I think there were, of the six or seven scum lists, I think probably four of them were running it. Right. I mean, if you have room, I think it's the best one-point upgrade you can get. I like Black Market a lot, but if I have the choice between the two, if I have to take one of the two, I'm going to take Devious.
Yeah, because Devious is like getting, it's like having Black Market where the card you know you're going to get is Take Initiative.
If I'm running Jabba, which I don't generally do because I just think he's okay and not amazing like Gideon and 3PO or Gideon and Hera are. Yeah. I just don't think he's as good as they are. But if I'm running Jabba...
We're going to get hate mail for you saying that, but yeah.
I know. Then I'm going to run Black Market. But, I mean, that's my problem. I like Jabba. I think he's good. I just don't think he's as good as Gideon and 3PO or as good as Gideon and Hera. And it's an opportunity cost. You can't run both of them. I don't think you can have a viable list with, what, if you run Gideon and Hera plus Jabba, that's 13 points of support units.
Yep.
I mean, Hera can hit, and she's got a solid attack, but that's a lot of points you're putting into support units that aren't going to be doing very much.
Yeah, I mean, it just means that, like, the weight on your damage dealers, if once you lose an Equay, then, like, your game is...
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you're playing that list against something like Ahsoka that comes in there and kills one of those focus Equays round one, I mean, what do you have left? You have one set of Equays and then a single one by himself that probably one or more will die before they activate at the start of the next round if Ahsoka's still there. So,
good point.
Yep. So the final in there was between Brandon and Joe, and they're the two other guys we both play with. So it's nice that everybody in the top there was people that we play with fairly often. But he was one of the few people playing Rebels, and he was playing E-Rangers. I think it was just a fairly basic E-Ranger list. It was two sets of E-Rangers, Hera, Gideon, C-3PO. I think he had a couple smugglers. I don't remember what the last couple points was. I think maybe Rebel High Command was in there as well. But
he didn't have like a Rebel hero like Kotoon or anything like that?
No Kotoon. I want to say he might have had Mac for some spy cards too.
Yeah.
I don't really remember exactly what his list was rounded out with, but I know the basis of it was the two E-Rangers plus the major support characters there. So he did really well. He's been playing those a decent amount and really likes them, and obviously Rangers are solid. We don't need to say anything about that.
Oh, sure.
So it came down to them, and they play together almost as much as me and Mitch do because they live like right next to each other, and it was like 10:30, 11 when the semifinals ended, and so they actually held off and played their game at a later date. I think they just called it a draw for the top there because we didn't want to stay there till the stay at the shop till like 12:30 or 1.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Oh, who won?
I think I am not sure that I've checked in with them since it's just been crazy since the holidays.
Okay.
To see who won, I think it might have been Joe with Vader and the E-Jets.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure because I think the last map went back to Jabba's Palace, which obviously favors closer range a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So it was a really good regional. Had a lot of fun. I love that we had a good turnout for sure.
Tell me what you think about Ugnaughts. I mean, you were running two in your list. You think that's where Ugnaughts are going to go, that they will form a 6-point, you know, take two basic ones to do objectives? Like, what do you think is going to happen with them?
Yeah, so my whole thing with Ugnaughts was, I guess my whole choice, my list was fluid. The last 6 points was going to either be Greedo and a Jawa, regular Jawa, or two Ugnaughts. So I wasn't losing or gaining activations either way. I like Greedo a lot. He's really, really good. He's really good when he's focused and he can get up there and get a round one attack with his 5 movement. There's a lot of different maps now that he has that he can get shots off without being fired back on. it just came down to the fact that I was thinking there might be one or two players playing Ugnaughts there, and I didn't want to get swept on Reigning Freight. I just think Reigning Freight is a almost impossible mission to win if you're playing against Ugnaughts.
Yeah.
And having two of them is generally enough that you can get a couple early crates and stop it from being a complete wipe. But that was my thought behind it. I don't know if I had to do it again, knowing there was not people playing Ugnaughts, I might swap it around. I mean, they did help me out. Obviously, they helped me out a ton on the Reigning Freight map when I was playing against the other Scum Hunters that didn't have any Ugnaughts to pick up crates. They probably got me, 12, 14 points just with running around and grabbing the crates. But other than that, I mean, with just two of them, it's a lot harder to get enough attacks off with a Junk Droid that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
I think you're really losing a lot of benefit if you're not running six of them.
Yeah, I believe that.
So, and now that you should run six of them. That I'm encouraging people to do that before you get more hate mail.
Well, yeah,
but I just think you're losing a lot of benefit if you run just two of them like I did. But
yeah,
they worked okay. They're really good at anybody running white dice figures. They're really good against white dice because there's a chance to do a decent amount of damage there.
Yeah.
But against black die, they generally don't do as much.
Yeah, against like Vader and IG, they're just not even going to touch them. So.
Oh yeah, there's no reason to spend an attack against Vader or IG generally.
Yeah.
That's why I hit something else.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I wonder if that is like the reason why that the six Ugnaughts. I mean, even if you've got six Ugnaughts against Vader or IG, I mean, I just don't think. I don't know if this is true, but I wonder if it is even possible to do damage to before Vader and like the E-Jets or the Riots are just in your face and just massacring your list. Or IG's the same way. I just don't even know if it's possible for them to do it against them.
I've got to imagine there's a pretty good chance Vader can kill an Ugnaught with his end of round attack. He's got plus one damage on two reds. You're probably looking at five or six damage going through on an average roll.
Yeah.
And they're going to block one or two. So a regular Ugnaught could even die to Vader's regular attack. And an elite Ugnaught has six health, I want to say. Four for regular, six for an elite.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, and Vader has a really good chance to do seven damage against a black die. So he's an elite one's going to go down on a regular attack too. So I don't think they'll stand up to Vader.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard people say like, well, maybe like the thing to do is you have IG and Onar working on Vader. It's like, okay, well, the thing is you're going to be spending those attacks. And Vader, I mean, like the weight of the Vader list is just descending on it's your own kind of box, right? Which you're trying to keep alive, and it's just going to disintegrate as soon as he gets in there. So
I mean, I think it's not just Vader and E-Jets too. You got room for something else. Vader and E-Jets is only 27 points.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got another 13. Maybe you throw a couple officers and Zillow in there. You've still got enough room for Taro if you want to bring him, or enough room for a set of E-Riots like Joe did.
Yeah, I love that. I love that a lot. Now, tell me what you think about IG and Vader, because I had thought that one of our players who plays Vader, Scott, he said that he just thinks Vader's just going to be eating IG all day, because if the positioning gets off or if like someone's got take initiative, it doesn't matter. Like Vader can kill him in two shots. Like, what do you think about that?
That is completely true. That's one of the reasons I like Devious Scheme so much. So like you say, the Vader player runs him as last activation. They're very rarely, I don't think I've seen any Imperial lists recently that have run enough activations to get last round activation against a seven act mercenary list with Devious.
Yeah.
So basically the player with IG is going to get last activation of round one most of the time. So if you run Vader up, six, eight spaces to try to get close for round two attack, IG is going to get in there and at least get one attack off. It's very possible. I've had some rounds where I've been able to get two attacks off practicing against Mitch with him, where IG can attack Vader two times with triple green at the end of the round. Then you throw on top of that, if you have Blaze of Glory or any of the Hunter cards. I mean, I had Greedo the other day doing, I think he did six damage to Vader because he played Heightened Reflex. I played Heightened Reflexes and killed one of the die. A focus Greedo. So like you can do a bunch of damage to Vader. And then if you've got Devious, and you're probably going to get start of round activation. So then you get two more, probably better, attacks against Vader because you're going to scoot up, get a little bit closer.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, you could possibly get four to six attacks on Vader before he does anything, really.
Yeah, that's true.
So I do think Vader is really good against IG. I mean, he's going to cut him to shreds if he can get close enough. But I think the problem is the IG player is always going to get the last action and pretty often they're going to get the first action of the next round too. So let's say they are worried about, maybe they didn't do very much damage the first round against Vader. Maybe they only did, you know, five damage with their two attacks or so, or their one attack. Then they take one attack next round and they scoot IG far enough back that Vader can't touch him. I mean, IG can attack and move seven spaces. That's Vader so can't
insane.
Do that.
Yeah, that's so insane.
I know that's ridiculous to think about, that he can move seven and then also still take an attack, but that's what he can do. So it's just, it's pretty crazy.
That's interesting. And I assume, had you practiced a lot against Vader, like running up to the regionals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my brother, I've been playing it. He's been playing a bunch of Vader lists in his, in the Vassal tournament. He's actually been playing a fun list. He's been playing Vader plus two sets of E-Pigs.
Oh, that's interesting.
And just going full on melee with Zillow, just can't get any damage through on him.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I played a bunch on him. So the E-Pigs are pain in the butts is what I've seen. But I've got a couple Hunter cards and Vader comes up close, I've just been using IG to take him out. And with fair success. I mean, there are times where IG will roll terrible. I mean, if you're rolling triple green against the double black, you can have some whiffed attacks if you get some of the single surge results.
Yeah.
But the green die are really consistent and the red die are even more consistent, so it just doesn't happen very often.
That's, man, you have sold me on IG, because all my problems with IG, I was like, he doesn't have a reroll, he is, you know, what is he going to do against Vader? But all of, you're knocking down my objections one at a time. I don't know what to say. I mean, I can actually see, especially if you're running Devious Scheme, the amount of control that you can have. And you're going to force the Vader player to make bad choices, right? Because he knows you're going to have initiative.
And the other option, if he knows, you lead him to bad decisions. Either he doesn't move Vader up enough that he can get a round two attack off. Because, I mean, if you're playing Scum Hunters, my main units that are dealing damage are Onar wants to be decently close, but Equiz don't need to. And IG doesn't really have to be either. I mean, he can shoot from decent range with triple green plus two automatic range. So, I mean, if he doesn't scoot Vader up, you just play further back, and then he has nothing to do next round with Vader. Then Vader's still too far away to do anything. So it just leads to not a very good decision. If he does move him up, I mean, you're guaranteed to get those end of round plus, you know, possibly the start of round activations on him too. So I think IG is really good against Vader, especially with the Hunter cards to back him up.
That's interesting. That's awesome. Okay, so going forward, I mean, do you have any more regionals coming up? Is there any other tournaments that you're getting ready for?
We've got a regional coming up on we've got two tournaments this month. Before that, we've got two just regular stores that do tournaments every month. One on the 9th, this next weekend, and one 2 weekends after that, I think. So I'll be going to both of those. They're not any major events, so I haven't decided what I'm going to run, but I'll probably mess around. I've been messing around with Han and Ahsoka together just a little bit. They're really fragile. If they can both get taken down pretty easily, which is a little bit scary. But other than that, I really like both of them. So I may mess around with something like that, with a set of E-Rangers or something to back them up. And then we've got another just small tournament that I haven't decided what to run. But the next big regional, the next big tournament is in Dallas. That's coming up on the 2nd of February, which I'll be going to. And I think I'm going to be taking, I haven't fully decided, but it's possible, I think I'll be taking Palp and Vader together with some E-Jets, or Palp and an ATDP with some E-Jets, similar to my list I'm running in the Vassal tourney.
That's very solid. I mean, I think the Lords of the Sith, that Vader Palp list, is that's, I think, the current nut to crack in terms of figuring out where exactly it is on the power curve, because it seems like it does really, really well, but I do think a lot of that is that people just haven't played against it very much, and so it'll be interesting to see how that gets fleshed out.
I think originally I was really skeptical about Palp and Vader together, just because I think the chances that, I mean, you always think about them with the optimal scenario of Palpatine giving Vader his extra attack and you get a bunch of Force Lightnings and everything like that, but much more often I find that I give Palpatine. I use Palpatine to give an E-Jet an attack. And I was really worried about not having any long-ranged units for Palpatine to use Emperor on. But honestly, I mean, I play really aggressively with the Jet Troopers, and I get them up in there. And so almost always I'll have a shot. I'll use one of them to command and use Emperor with Palpatine, which is really good. I mean, just get an extra Jet Trooper shot off for free every round is really good.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing is that the Vader Palp list with E-Jets, getting an extra attack off with Vader will win you the game. But I think it's awesome to just have Vader go up there and just cause havoc, and then Paladin E-Jets come, and I mean, there is, you're getting all these extra attacks, Force Lightning's going off. I mean, there's just so much damage coming at them.
Yeah. The other thing I really like with Palpatine, I've been messing around with, is the E-Sentries with Palpatine.
Oh, yes.
Because you can always get a shot off with the E-Sentries with Palpatine pretty much every round, and then if you're getting initiative to start next round, going with a couple E-Sentries can be pretty painful for your opponent. So that's another thing I've been messing around with.
That is awesome.
So for the next regional, it'll probably be Imperials that I'll be repping. Some form of Imperials.
Make Mitch take his turn with Scum or something.
Yeah, he'll probably bring, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see. He was thinking about Bantha with the new Jawa map coming into rotation, but we'll see if that happens, actually.
That'll be interesting. Well, thank you so much for your regionals report. That was awesome. Do you have anything else to add?
No, not at all, man. I can't wait to get the next announcement from FFG, what they're bringing to us next. That's going to be exciting. But nothing else really to report from my area.
Okay, well, that's awesome. We'd like to thank Robert for coming on and giving us this awesome regionals report. Again, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. And if you want to join us on the Slack channel, email us at zionsfinest@gmail.com. We'd love to get you in talking with us. You can talk with Robert and you can pick his brain, and he can convince you about how all of your previous opinions about something were wrong, which is awesome.
I don't know about that, but definitely join. It's always good to talk strategy. That's one of my favorite. List building and theory crafting is one of my favorite parts of the game, so definitely join up with the Slack.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much, everyone, and have a good new year.